Welcome to Panther Potpourri, the podcast where we're supposed to talk Panthers hockey, but sometimes we don't. Presented by Florida Hockey Now. Here are your hosts, Jacob Langsam, Alex Lopez, and TJ Peterson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Panther Potpourri, a Florida Hockey Now podcast. I am your host, Jacob Langsam. Here with me, as always, are my co-hosts, Alex Lopez and TJ Peterson. And folks, it seems like the walls may be closing in. The Panthers are 4-8-1 since the trade deadline, though I would like to point out that I don't believe that is because of the trade deadline. That's just a natural point of demarcation. They have not won consecutive games since March 8th and 12th, I believe. Aaron Ekblad, after playing three games plus a little bit of a fourth, is re-injured. Carter Verhaeghe is out week to week, and the team believes he'll be back for round one, game one, but we will see. Matthew Tkachuk is sick. And last but not least, Dmitry Kulikov sucks. Did I hit everything?
Well, Bob has gone back to being human. I mean, his Vezina chances are now practically zero.
I wouldn't even say practically. I think they're done.
Okay, fair enough. Either way, you know, a month ago, he was in the top three with a strong finish, had a good shot of winning it. My, you know, $10 bet at 500-1 was looking really good. And yeah, I can't even cash that out anymore because his odds are done. And Stolarz is also showing his humanity.
Yeah, I don't really think it's a goaltending thing personally. But,
no.
Okay, let me do my bit again. It's the regular season. Who cares? That being said, I don't necessarily think it's a goaltending thing. I think they're giving up way more high-danger opportunities than they used to. I mean, last night, the game against the Canadiens is fresh in mind. And once I said that, I was like, the Maple Leafs game was not really like that. I mean, they did give up a bunch of high-danger chances, but we have watched the NHL for years. We all know that high danger chances don't go in 100% of the time. They don't even go in like 75% of the time. They go in like 40% of the time. Toronto went like 8 out of 10 on their, I'm saying from a ratio perspective. They obviously didn't score 8 goals, but they were like 80% conversion rate on their high danger chances in that game. It could have gone differently. It was pretty even from my perspective. They didn't play well enough to claim that they should have won, but I don't think it was a catastrophe. Last night was a catastrophe.
Last night was absolutely a catastrophe. I mean, there's a lot of whataboutism you can do in these last 8 losses. I mean, the Islanders game was one of the worst ref shows we've seen in a long time. Chris Rooney, what are you doing?
That's true.
The Red Wings game again, Chris Rooney, what are you doing? A 12-2 power play disadvantage in 2 games. That's Francois Saint Laurent kind of territory. You had the Tampa game that was oddly officiated when, you know, Fassi standing on his head, Panthers hitting a bunch of posts. Like, there's been some what the hell with some of these losses, but playing devil's advocate here, the level of play has gone down considerably. Like TJ said, they are giving up high danger opportunities. They are giving up breakaways. They are giving up 2-on-1s. I mean, they gave up a 2-on-0 yesterday. You never see 2-on-0s in the NHL, and they gave one up. This went from a team that, I mean, they've been so good defensively that their numbers are still ridiculous, but like, this went from the best defensive team in the NHL, when you considered how good their offense is also, to I'm a bit concerned. My concernometer was a 3 after the Toronto game after yesterday. It was a 5. It's now a 5. And it's because you're seeing a level of sloppiness that should not be happening. We've been saying for a while, get to the playoffs healthy. And they're not playing well, and they're not healthy. I'm worried.
I do also want to point out, since March 1st, Sergei Bobrovsky, I guess I should specify, among goalies who have played at least 300 minutes since March 1st, that essentially being 5 games, which feels like a decent sample size for 1 month. Bobrovsky has the 39th best save percentage of the 52 goalies who have played at least 300 minutes. And he has the 40th best goal saved above expected out of those 52 goalies. Those are bad numbers. Those are not good. He's minus 3.55 against expected, rocking an .892 all situation save percentage since March 1st. Stolarz is a bit better. Stolarz does happen to be fourth in goal saved above expected since March 1st, and 12th in overall save percentage. So that's a little bit better, but I mean, he wasn't great against Montreal. Maybe that was just he essentially played back to back, coming in relief of Bobrovsky in the third period on Monday and then starting on Tuesday. So maybe he was just gassed by the end of that game. But yeah, Panthers goaltending, which has been a high point all season, is starting to average out.
Jake, you're on Money Puck right now?
Natural stat trick.
Okay, can you go to the, like, take out the date filter that you have in, and I'm going to talk, if you could, like, please do.
Yeah.
I don't want to command you to do anything. I'm not the boss of you. That's George. But
true.
If you could, I would like to make a point. So please go into back into the goalie part of Natural Stat Trick, take out the dates filter. Please sort by minutes played. While you do that, Alex, who was the AHL goaltender in the month? In the month of March?
That would be one Spencer Knight, who is absolutely on fire.
That's interesting.
What, do you have like 3 straight shutouts or something?
Almost. It was.
Yeah, he had 3 straight shutouts in regulation.
And then gave up an OT goal to blow the shutout streak.
Right, which is, it's 3-on-3, so it's kind of fake.
That is heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't get your guy any run support. It's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Jake, do we have that ready?
Yes, we do.
Here's a question that I don't think the answer to that will be on there, but you should know it. How old is Sergei Bobrovsky?
34, I think.
35.
He's 35. Alex is correct. Now, Jake, you've sorted goalies by time on ice played over the in course of the entire season, correct?
I have, yes.
Where does Sergei Bobrovsky rank?
Fourth.
Danger.
35 years old.
Yeah, but also playing some of the best hockey of his career through the first 60 games of the season.
But now but
this
he's
is a problem. I guess
maybe this he's gassed.
This is flat out a problem. Look, it's my fault for not ultimately concluding my study of this. And maybe I'll finally get to it and make some sort of more substantial arguments as to like why he's got to start taking a lot of time off here. But, you know, kind of the damage has already been done, because how much time off can he really get in the next 10 games? And, you know, we have a pretty solid sample of the goalies that play more than their playoff opponents in terms of their playoff opponent goalies underperform them. There's a correlation between the more you play in the regular season and the more you underperform what you did in the regular season. So what we're seeing right now doesn't surprise me. With Spencer Knight playing the way that he is, with the fact that you've got a decision coming up this summer, if you want to do the same thing that you're doing this year, having a guy making $4.5 million average annual value playing in the minors, which does take his cap hit down to, you know, 3.4 or whatever, but you do have to play a backup in his stead. Like, it's the time is emphatically now for Spencer Knight to join the big club.
I don't necessarily disagree. However, you are limited to 4 call-ups to finish the season, and while there's only 2 weeks left, Balinskis has been one of those call-ups. if you call up Knight, that's your second, and you only have two left, especially considering how the injury issues have played out. I don't know. I don't necessarily like, as we've been, I've been in for months, I've been in full agreement that the workload on Bob needs to be reduced.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, maybe they who do they play tomorrow? Is it Ottawa?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you start Stolarz again tomorrow, and then give Bob his first game back on what's the next game? Saturday after that, or is it
Yeah,
Sunday?
Saturday afternoon against the Bruins, which they should do that anyway.
Right. Yeah, I don't disagree. But like, yeah, at the same time, you got to get Bob back on form, and the only way to really do that with goalies is to play them. What happened with Bob last year in the playoffs is honestly nothing short of a miracle. It's very, very, very rare that no matter how good a goalie is, that they just come cold off the bench after having very little for 2+ weeks and light the world on fire. So yes, you want to rest Bob, but at the same time, the only way to find your form as a goalie is to play.
I mean, he didn't, though, to be completely, I don't know, honest isn't the right word here, but like to set the record straight, he came back in game three of that series and he was fine in game three. He started game four and he wasn't good and they lost the game. Game five is when playoff Bob activated. So he did get that one game in before, he got his skates under him. And that's a situation that they can be in here, but I really don't think I need to make that strong of an additional argument besides the fact that he's 35, he's played the fourth most minutes of any goalie in the league, and we have a pretty solid body of evidence that suggests that the more minutes that you play in the regular season, the more it affects your postseason performance. I will accept the argument that Andrei Vasilevskiy has bucked this trend, but he's one of the only ones that has. Last year, the goalie that won the cup that basically stole the series from the Panthers, Aiden Hill, he played like 30 regular season games. Matt Murray for the Penguins, two seasons, basically a 1A or a 1B. Vasilevskiy, is another guy that has won a few cups here, obviously. But it's more of an exception. I mean, the season that Holtby won the cup, he wasn't even the playoff starter. It was the German Grubauer.
I'm kind of at a loss for words in terms of what is going on with this team. There's just issues all over the place right
There are,
now.
yeah, like the goalie thing is being a little bit reductive, and I was even trying to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I brought it back to the whole, my soapbox point.
Yeah, but transitioning away the de look defense. Dmitry Kulikov, what the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing?
Also being old, I assume.
No, you don't make the two passes he made that have turned into breakaways or immediate one-timer goals because you're tired. Uvis Belinskis, where are you? Uvis
Yeah. Oh, I
Belinskis,
mean, he's coming.
Tobias
Well,
Bjornfot, where are you?
yeah, that's a
Yeah.
good point. That's a
He
good
had
point.
one game and he was very good in it. Let the guy play.
Let him cook.
I'm honestly shocked that Kulikov played against Montreal after the game he had on Monday. He wasn't good against Toronto. And on a back-to-back, I'm shocked that you don't take him out for a game.
And you can spin it. Like you can say, look, like
We're giving
we've
guys
played a lot
rest.
of hockey
Yeah.
and tomorrow's game, it's not meaningless, but I tell you what, it's damn not near meaningful. It's damn not near you like if you offered me winning tomorrow's game 10-0 or scoring the first goal in game one, round one, I wouldn't even think about it. I'm taking 1-0 lead in game one, round one. That's just the fact of the matter. In this league, everything is so random. and everything is so driven by the playoffs. We don't care who has the best regular season. I mean, the Panthers hung a banner for winning the President's Trophy, but many of our listeners probably wish they didn't.
Yeah.
I don't want to rehash that, but I'm fine with hanging the banner.
I'm just saying that there's a debate as to whether or not that's worth celebrating at all. There's no debate as to whether or not it's worth celebrating more than even getting out of the first round, for example.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from, but at the same time, that's not where my concern is right now. My concern is what the hell is going on right now? Why is it happening? I mean, just going back to what you're saying and like, oh, yesterday was meaningful, meaningless. Yesterday's game really had little meaning considering it was the second night of a back-to-back. You sat Kachuk for what I'm assuming is precautionary reasons with an illness. Cause like,
yeah,
you know, if this is game one of the playoffs with an illness, Kachuk's out there. Dude played with a fractured sternum. He can play through an illness. So like you clearly treated the game like it didn't matter, but then you saw the effort after the first period. And all of a sudden it's like, ew, we're getting dog walked by the frickin' Montreal Canadiens, a team that hadn't beaten you in almost two calendar years.
And another game with two blown leads. The Panthers led that game 1-0 and 2-1.
Yeah. Another issue is they're blowing leads all of a sudden. 2 weeks ago, they'd lost one game in regulation when they scored the first goal, and like one game in regulation when they had a third period lead. It's like four games now. Like the alarm bells are everywhere. And last night, Paul Maurice, after the game, he was pulling a Doug Dietermeyer from Animal House. All is well. I'm not worried about it. While the Panthers are getting trampled.
I will say, I did appreciate the quote of him saying, "We know what's wrong." The problem, like, if he has diagnosed the issue, I trust him to fix it.
So do I. But kind of fix it.
Like, yeah.
We're on week three of this now. Like, this is no longer a little blip. Like, you went from in the President's Trophy race and we're joking about the curse to you might lose home ice advantage in the first round to Toronto if this keeps up any longer.
Toronto is currently losing to Tampa, for the record.
Right. Yeah, they just gave up a fourth goal. So they're down 4-1.
But this was like an 8-point deficit a week ago.
For what it is worth, as the standings currently stand, I know this is like take.
That's
take
what they
this
do,
with,
Jacob. That's why they're called standings.
I know, it's crazy. Take this for like, don't necessarily take this directly at face value because they are about to. This is about to change, but they are currently 4 points behind the Panthers with two games in hand.
Yeah.
Granted, like, they're about to be 4 points behind the Panthers with one game in hand, which is a little bit more palatable. But if you consider that at the beginning of this evening, 4 points back with two games in hand, that's enough to catch up. Yeah. And there's still one more head to head.
And
game 82.
Mm-hmm. Home ice in round one is going to come down to the final game of the season. Conspiracy theory! The NHL is doing this on purpose to make the Florida-Toronto game on April 17th or 18th or whatever it is. They're doing this on purpose to make that game matter.
As we all know, if the Paul Maurice Panthers ever went up against the Sheldon Keefe Leafs in a playoff series, home ice
Sheldon
advantage would
Keefs.
Be very meaningful. It would matter a lot. The team that had home ice advantage would have a distinct edge. They would definitely be considered prohibitive favorites. We saw last year that was what happened, right? The Panthers have home ice advantage, right?
For the record, Toronto still has seven fewer regulation wins than the Panthers.
I like how you just completely ignored what I was saying.
I like ignoring the things you say. It's one of my favorite pastimes.
No, but like, yeah. I do think it's funny that people spent 6 months laughing about how easily they beat the Leafs when the Leafs had home ice advantage. And now they're worried about the Leafs having home ice advantage. Like,
I have found that conversation on Twitter fairly comical, how everyone's panicking about home ice advantage as if the Panthers didn't sneak into wild card two at the tail end of the season and power their way through not having home ice advantage in any round to the Stanley Cup finals.
I mean,
and let me
all sorry, of the discourse ahead, on Panther, all of the discourse on Panther's Twitter right now is toxic. It's awful.
It's hilarious.
It would be on any like any fan base in any sport. Like, show me the fan base that wouldn't overreact over a losing streak.
Oh, of course,
it would be the first.
It's my concern is that there's just too many things not clicking all at the same time, and on top of it, you're losing guys. Like week to week injuries leading up to the playoffs, those are usually really bad.
Yeah. Which is why it's nice that Jameson threw out that little addendum that they expect him to be ready to go for game one.
Right. But is it ready to go as in I'm 100%? Or is it Vincent Trocheck coming back from a fractured ankle and, you know, coming back at 40% for the Islanders series back? These are all the things we talked about for weeks. So you don't want to happen is you want to go into the playoffs, everyone 100%. And who knows what the state of our most or second most clutch player, depending on who you think is more clutch between him and Kachuk. Fine. I'm fine with that. But like, we don't know what kind of Carter Verhaeghe we're going to get.
No, we don't know what we're getting in general. Like, I think that's what.
Yeah, that's a good point. Are we going to get the first 60 games Panthers, or are we going to get the last 20 games Panthers?
Yeah.
I mean, we're just exiting March. And when people fill out their brackets in March for March Madness, a lot of the time they think, what team's hot right now? UConn in 2011, they won the Big East Championship. They were hot. Kemba Walker took them all the way to the title. And this year, NC State, they won 5 games in 5 days to win the ACC tournament. And then they stayed hot. They won 4 games. They're in the Final Four, 11 seed. Crazy story. I mean, that's fresh in people's minds. And I really haven't dug deep on the research, but I will tell you that there is a team that won 13 of their last 14 games last year, and they lost the first round of the playoffs to the Florida Panthers.
Like you've been saying, TJ, nothing matters if you win game one. But, like,
especially if it's a clean win.
Yeah, oh, of course. Like, you know, you go out and win game one because you had, like, three deflections off defenseman's ankles or whatever. Like, you know.
Yeah. You win game one 3-1. Right. Maybe 3-1 plus an empty netter. No one is talking about the Panthers' March anymore because it's a new game. And if they come out strong in game one, nobody gives a shit what happened in game 60 through 80.
Yeah, it doesn't. Now, you win game one and then lose the next four, or you're out in the first round. All of a sudden, the three of us are going to be dissecting this losing streak, especially if these flaws continue. But it's like I said, it's why my concernometer just keeps creeping up, because it's like guys are getting hurt, team's not playing well. Like, you know, I don't want to be, you know, Niedermeyer going all is well, and we're about to get steamrolled.
We could always, no matter what, pull a Rod Brind'Amour. And just deny reality.
Oh, absolutely. Isn't that the...
So, guys, we did kind of touch on it a little bit, but let's broach it fully. Are we saying that the top six defense going forward should not have Kulikov in it?
I think it should be an open competition to finish the season between him and Uvis Balinskas.
I agree.
I don't know why we're still ignoring Tobias Bjornfot.
Because he's played one game with the team.
Yeah, and he was good in it.
I mean, I'm not opposed to him getting more time. But at the same time, the focus has to start shifting back towards, you know, hey, we know what the problem is. All right, let's fix the damn problem.
Yeah.
Rather than, oh, hey, let's make sure we're getting everyone playing time because we might need them. Like, you want to say, hey, we're still experimenting to find the right line combinations? Fine. But, like, now is not the time for Tobias Bjornfot to, you know, take Gustav Forsling's place in the lineup to give Gustav a night off. Like, you blew that gap already. you're not playing well, figure it the fuck out. Now, I'm not saying you need to go play balls to the wall and, you know, fight to the death to beat Ottawa on Saturday or tomorrow night, but like, fucking figure it out. Like, losing to a bottom five team in the NHL in embarrassing fashion, I don't care that it was the second night of a back-to-back. Like, they took it to the Panthers yesterday after the first period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that should never happen.
No.
Also, like, Ottawa sucks. And also, we have a thing against them as a podcast. So if they lose tomorrow, I'm going to be even more pissed off.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm putting money on Ottawa, I'll tell you that much. Shut I might up, lose DJ. My money, but Coward. That's what I'm doing.
Coward. Also, the puck luck's just been really bad for the Panthers lately. Just like, again, like going to the flukiness, like the Boston loss, like literally both of those goals to tie and win the game were beyond lucky.
They had a lucky one in that game, though.
Which one? The one with
the
Reinhardt?
The Reinhardt goal.
I think that's a lot less lucky considering Reinhardt put his skate in a position to deflect that puck. That wasn't a blind pass that went off of a Panthers defenseman right to Brad Marchand, or a shot that went just ricocheted off a few people and into the net like the game winner. Those are two different kind of luck. That's two different kind of luck. Yeah, Reinhardt didn't put it in with his stick, but that was absolutely intentional to get a skate on the puck to get it deflected into the net.
But I mean, it also blooped perfectly off of his skate. It wasn't like he had a wide open net and he just deflected it.
Okay, sure. Fine.
I will say their 5-on-5 PDO since March 1st is 998. So
that's not really that low.
Right. That's my point. 0.002 below league average. Granted that like PDO is a finicky stat and that does put them, they're only 12 teams behind them. But all the same,
middle
like,
of the pack.
Yeah, they're in the bottom of the middle third of the league, basically. It's worse all situations. It's 9-9-1. At 9-9-8, they're tied with Columbus and Dallas, other cup favorites, the Dallas Stars. And the next team up is Colorado at 1.004. So they are the first team below 1,000. So, like, as far as the puck luck conversation goes, I'm not sure I agree that it's so egregiously low, considering that they are literally the first team below 1,000.
Uh-huh. I think that the conversation about this being fluky more than anything went out the window yesterday, because that was a stinker. I mean, they even had a goal. Like, it was on the board. It had been confirmed. And then it came off the board. It was divine intervention.
Yeah.
And they still got absolutely bushwhacked.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, I really want to hold out hope that this is all going to blow over and they're going to come into the playoffs with a full roster and everything's going to be fine. Not that I'm, like, guaranteeing a cup, but everything's going to be fine in that they'll go back to looking like the Panthers and not whatever the hell team has been taking the ice in the last 12, 13 games.
Yeah. I think that you've got to have a theory to explain why this is what's going to happen in the playoffs, because I put it out there. They played until June last year. A lot of teams didn't.
Yeah.
Fatigue can be an obstacle. And it's going to be more pronounced now that you've got 70 games of skating around miles on your legs than you do for, like, you know, way more miles than you did at game 40.
Yeah.
And
it's
just like,
it's odd that the drop off seemed like it was so stark.
It was very stark.
Like, they were great, and then all of a sudden they were terrible. Like, there wasn't really an intermediary.
Yeah. And I mean, it's weird that pessimists are like responding to that by saying, well, Vegas is doing just fine. They played just as many games. That would be like the optimistic point of view here, I feel. Because if tiredness is not explaining the recent drop off, like, you got to point out what is. And I really can't think of anything that I would just shoo away by saying it's a 5-game sample or a 10-game sample of a 72-game season thus far. Why would you put more stock in that than the other 60, 65 games? Why? There's no, like, the reason would be tiredness. I can't think of another one.
From the Philadelphia loss on February 6th, the Panthers, until the Carolina loss. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 wins. And I believe 3 losses. They were 14-3 between the Philadelphia loss and the Carolina loss.
Which was the first game after the All-Star break, the Philly game.
Yeah. And then since then, they have won, what, 2 games?
Yeah, the Red Wings March 14th, and the Flyers. And the Flyers. Funny enough.
So, since March 14th, they've won 2 games after winning 14 of their previous 17. Remarkably stark drop-off.
How many losses is that, though? It's the Hurricanes, the Islanders,
1, 2, Leafs. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Bruins. In regulation and 1 in a shootout.
So, they're 2-7-1 in their last 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem.
All that to say, like, again, I am hopeful that whatever they're doing is just some form of conservation, but like I also don't want to believe that they would play that way. You know, like I want to believe that the Panthers are a team that are hungry for wins regardless of their situation. I don't want to think that they're like half-assing it to conserve energy for the playoffs. But at this point I kind of hope that's what's going on.
I mean, that is the best case scenario.
The problem is that that strategy is also in part an attempt to avoid injury, which has not worked as we have now lost Ekblad and Verhaeghe, two key players. So
Just smile and wait until it's over.
Look, records reset on April 19th.
Completely.
The Panthers are going to the playoffs. I guess we haven't mentioned that yet. This is the first recording since they clinched. We should maybe mention that. Hey, everyone. The Florida Panthers have officially clinched a playoff spot since our last episode.
It's like, cheering sound effect here. Yay! Everything's fine.
Yeah, so they have clinched their spot. So, like, all that's left to play for is seeding. And maybe, I don't know. Like, they want to win, though. The team wants to win. The players want to win. Professional athletes don't get to be professional athletes because they pick and choose when they care. These are guys who have a drive to win and have had that drive for their entire lives.
Right.
It's the 1% of the 1% of the 1%, and they got where they were because they hated losing.
Yep.
So, like, it's not in their mentality to just sit back and let the season come to you and then turn it back on when the playoffs start.
Unless it is. And I don't know.
I guess so.
I don't know.
But does Matthew Tkachuk seem to you like the kind of guy who's fine to just sit back and let the season blow by at this point?
I would have to ask you if he felt like he could have played last night. Because he didn't.
I mean, Paul Maurice could have shut him down, whether he wanted to or not.
That's true. He should have. I think it's the right move. If you know, Alex had said, it's like, if you have a hangnail, don't play.
I'm more talking about the on-ice product when I talk about like how I think the players look and their mentality.
I don't want the whole podcast to go without saying that Brandon Montour has also been pretty weak lately.
Yeah, true.
He scored a couple of goals, but like, if you're a defenseman, I really, a lot of the time, don't think you scoring a goal is because you're so awesome. I think it's a lot of luck.
In a lot of cases, I would agree with you, but Brandon Montour in particular does have a very good wrist shot.
No doubt.
It's always been a strong point of his game.
But it's not like he's doing the McDavid against the Rangers a couple seasons ago.
No, I mean, he doesn't have, like, the dangles, but for a defenseman, Montour has a fantastic wrist shot, and that was shown off on Monday night in Toronto. Like, he scored a beautiful goal off just a snapshot from the right circle.
But it's one that Samsonov could have stopped.
He never saw it. It came in too quick.
And that's more luck than skill, in my opinion.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's... We're
a quick enough release, like if you can shoot the puck without the goalie seeing it, and it's not like Samsonov was wildly screened on the play either. It was just a wicked shot that just zipped into the net, you know? Like, Samsonov never had a chance. That's skill.
There's skill involved, but you don't have a good run of scoring goals as a defenseman, typically because of tremendous skill, just like making those goals inevitable. Whereas, like, if you're McDavid, you can beat three guys and all of a sudden you're going one-on-one with the goalie. Yeah. And you got a very high chance of scoring.
Montour, by the way, has fallen back to earth in terms of his general career average scoring pace of roughly half a point a game. Shocker that last season was an anomaly for him. It was a fun anomaly.
He is coming back from injury.
Yeah, but 32 points in 60 games. And for the record, good. That's good for a second pair defenseman.
Yes.
I'll take a 40-point defenseman on my second pair.
First power play, though.
True. But also not the best distributor of the puck.
On the power play. Not really the best anything, because that's a very good power play.
Yeah.
But that's one reason why you should probably have more points. All this to say, Brandon Montour, you're terrible.
I mean, I wouldn't go
that
far.
He's listening, I'm sure.
I wouldn't go that far. He has had a rough stretch, much like most of the team. He hasn't been.
I just went the full on hyperbole there to just make all the criticism seem reasonable. All will be forgiven if you show up game one, round one, and just absolutely kill it.
Right. Remember that. Everything we're saying becomes irrelevant if the Panthers go into the playoffs and just dominate game one.
Yeah.
Which at this point is all we can really hope for. I really don't know how much there is to say here.
Like, we could tell you, like, oh, we know because of how they played in the last month of the year that they're going to show up in the playoffs just that bad.
Yeah.
It didn't work out for the Bruins in the opposite way. They didn't show up in the playoffs, were just a formality. They didn't continue what they did in the previous 13 of the previous 14 games. They lost 4 out of 7, and that was the end of their season. So we don't know. Like, if we did know, we wouldn't be doing this fucking free podcast. We'd be working in front office.
Just looking ahead at the remaining games on the Panther schedule, under normal circumstances, I would say that they should be able to win 5 of the 6. And really, I would say they're good enough to win all 6 of them with just giving some leeway for them to drop one of them.
Which is at Boston, I'm presuming.
No, I'm not even saying that, like, I know which game they would lose of the 6. Under normal circumstances, I would just say, like, yeah, they could go 6-0-0 for the remainder of the season, but I'll give them leeway to lose a game. I don't care to who, except don't lose to Toronto, please. Yeah, so they're in Boston, or I guess if we're looking at the whole rest of the season instead of just the key games, Ottawa, Boston, Ottawa, Columbus, Buffalo, Toronto. This year's Florida Panthers could win out. This month's Florida Panthers won't.
Hold on. You're saying that three of the remaining games this year are home Columbus, home Buffalo, and home Ottawa?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, the reason I want to point that out is they're also only 4 points behind Boston still. If Boston drops 2 games and the Panthers do some good work, then, like,
they have
they're
the
still in the conversation for first place in the division.
Yeah, you got to win Saturday, though, for that conversation to
of
continue.
Course. If you lose in Boston on Saturday, just no.
Yeah, just get ready for the Leafs. You might be hosting them, you might be going to the Toronto, but you're playing the Leafs in round one if you don't win that game.
Right. So there are 2 games of consequence remaining, and that's on Saturday in Boston and April 16th at home against Toronto. Those 2 games are going to be the games that truly determine where the Panthers sit on April 19th.
And as you said, that game against Toronto is game 82.
It is game 82. It is on ESPN. I really think that this is a conspiracy. I don't actually think that, but I sure am going to clip it.
I mean, the officiating has been really bad in the last couple of weeks.
It was really only the two Chris Rooney games, in my opinion. Those are the only ones that were, like, notably embarrassing.
That Lightning game was terrible. Whatever. This is not a bitch about the officiating podcast.
Really? But you're on it.
Look, when TJ is on the main account complaining about Chris Rooney, it's really
No, bad. that one was awful. And I mean, the Red those, Wings, those the trip awful. On Montour, the quote unquote trip. I really don't do this often. Like I think that officiating is hard to do. I think that a lot of people think that it's something that they could easily improve upon, and if they found themselves in the situation, they would be shitting themselves.
Yeah.
With all the granular decisions they'd have to make.
It is so easy to, I guess, armchair officiate when you're in a position where you're looking down from a higher angle and you can see the entire rink. It's easy to see things that you could miss from ice level, but that's also why there are four of them.
It's also why there should just be an eye in the sky that has the power to call and overturn penalties. We have the technology. It's not hard.
Yeah. Get a VAR. Soccer has one.
It's not
just
even...
in. Alex is in favor of cutting jobs.
Yes.
No, I think he's saying he's in favor of adding jobs.
Yeah, technically it's adding jobs.
Creating jobs. You're a job creator.
Not if you're removing four on-ice officials to
that's not what
hire
he's saying.
One off-ice.
No, I'm saying you literally every game should have someone.
Oh, in addition to the four on-ice officials?
Correct. There should be someone who...
I was thinking you were saying you replace the on-ice officials with an eye in the sky.
No, I am saying that there is literally someone with a buzzer that sees an infraction, the refs miss, buzzes down, and an arm goes like and says, like, you know, whether they can communicate or it's like, hey, you missed a trip here, your arm needs to go up, penalty on Ekblad for tripping or whatever. Like that we have the technology, we should be able to do this now.
Yeah.
Like,
there are that should only really occur in extremely obvious situations. But look, Bennett was tripped on
Bennett was
the Islanders
tripped.
Game-winning
goal. That one pissed me. The Casey Cizikas literally shoving his stick into Bennett's skate blade. Yeah. That one pissed me off beyond belief.
That's extremely obvious. That is not a shade of gray. And Montour did not trip whichever Red Wing it was. That was not a shade of gray. That was just a blown
routine.
Call.
You will not hear me say that often.
I don't say it pretty much ever.
I saw a lot of people like, oh, why would Brandon Montour even put himself in a position where that's a possible call? Because it shouldn't have been a possible call.
It shouldn't
have. You
cannot
penalize Brandon Montour for playing basic defense. Like that, he wasn't putting himself in a position for that to be a possible call. He was doing his job.
You can't
and
trip
the
someone
ref
above
wasn't.
The waist. You can't. Yeah. That's just a fact.
Yeah,
it was just... And it was just so on the nose. Panthers took the lead on 4-on-4, up 4-on-3.
I literally tweeted that. I said the Panthers took the lead, so Chris Rooney took the next possible opportunity to call some bullshit. Yeah. That was my exact tweet.
there is a reason my April Fool's Day tweet with Rooney and St. Laurent calling the Toronto game went over so well is because it was just... It was too on the nose.
That was a great tweet, for the record.
I don't know how so many people fell for that. I honestly thought about saying something like, TJ Luxmore had been demoted. He's going to be the linesman for the game as well.
Man, and fuck people named TJ.
I agree. But yeah, like, the refs aren't the reason the Panthers are in the situation they're in. They're not playing as well as they should have been. Like, you should not have been in position for the refs to decide a game against the, you know, New York Islanders. You shouldn't have been.
Yeah, right.
But they also had their, you know, fingers so much on the scale, it was kind of hard. Same thing with the Red Wings. But, yeah. Moving on.
You got to win some of those games sometimes. That's what they did against the Red Wings. It's possible.
Great teams find a way to get around poor officiating.
Yep.
You can be mad about the officiating in the moment while also understanding that the team should be good enough to win in spite of it.
Yep.
I think we've pretty much exhausted every Panthers talking point unless I'm missing one.
I got nothing else.
Just to reiterate what
Barkov hit 700 points. I think that's
we
worth
don't know when
mentioning.
Coming back, like we would talk about it if we did. We did talk about Berhage's timeline,
right? Which I got nothing else. Panthers. Oh, I remember what else. I want to repeat what Jacob said earlier. It's coincidental that the deadline is when this losing streak started because Vladimir Tarasenko's been very good.
He's been solid.
He was the best player on the Panthers yesterday, in my opinion, and he's best player against Toronto. I mean, that second goal happened because of Kulikov, but like it also had Tarasenko flying down the ice to make an amazing back check without taking a penalty, cause a turnover that should have resulted in an odd man rush the other way, and then Kulikov threw a blind pass that ended up in the back of the net.
That was bad.
That was bad.
I think that we've already kind of made that clear. Kyle Okposo has not really done a whole lot, but he also hasn't gotten a whole lot of opportunity, so I'm not really freaking out about that. Would like to see him as the season continues, and we probably will because Verhage's out. Checkers are getting, sorry, Josh Rappel, Sochin and Kai Schwint for the remainder of the season.
Who?
Noted OHL coach Kai Schwint.
Yes, coach of the Mississauga Steelheads.
Such a great story. Real quick, for those who don't know, Kai Schwint was injured and had to miss, I guess it was his last game in the OHL. So as a treat, they put him on the bench. And both the head coach and the assistant coach were thrown out of the game. So Kai Schwint got to coach for about a minute before the GM came down from the press box and took over as the head coach.
Do you all saw who the assistant coach was?
Yes, Michael Haley, former Florida
Michael
Panther.
Michael Haley, former Florida Panthers, brainless goon.
I do want to just point out quickly on the Tarasenko angle. In all situations, since the trade deadline, Tarasenko is third on the team in goals and third on the team in points.
Yeah, he's been fine. I really don't think that you can point at him and say this is where all the problems started. It just doesn't make sense.
So, again, using the trade deadline as a classic demarcation point, not saying it's because of the trades.
I've said my last Panthers directly related word. What about the rest of y'all?
Yep.
Can I see the line brawl tonight?
Yeah. No. Dude, Rangers and Devils.
Yeah, start
puck
with
drop
brawl.
Line brawl. Classic.
First one we've had in a while. That was fun. Look, we're all in agreement that, you know, fighting doesn't really help a team win, but damn, they're fun to watch.
Yeah.
Keep them rare so that when they do happen, it's exciting. That's why I think the scrums are boring, because I think that they happen all the time and there's nothing really exciting about them. Now, when you actually kind of get a fight like that Bennett and Perron one, that was
EJ. You never went to summer camp, right?
No, I've been to summer camp. What
a
are you
summer
talking
camp,
about?
A summer camp with a color war?
Eh, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think
we're not Jewish. We don't get to go to sleepaway camp like you guys.
Well,
do.
Sorry, I'm better.
I'm not
than
Jewish,
else.
Alex.
That's why I said you and I are not Jewish.
Okay.
We don't get to go to summer camp.
I like those scrums because they remind me of fake break, which still serves to make the actual fight more exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Fake Break is a summer camp classic in which the camp leadership will pretend that they're starting color war only for it to be a joke. But it always makes the actual color war announcement more exciting.
Okay, so I hinted at it. The reason that I'm doing very well on Hard Rock Bet recently is because I'm betting against the Marlins. I've bet against them 4 times, and I've won 4 bets because they are 0-7.
They're terrible. They are so bad.
They're really bad.
The Athletic already wrote an article about how they need to sell. That's how bad they are.
They should. There's no point in trying to salvage this. It's already over.
Yeah.
7 games into the season.
The injuries, the offense is just not good. Like,
they've blown a number of like 4-0, 5-0 leads.
Yeah, I don't know how they fix. I don't know how you fix this organization. Like, it's just beyond broken.
Move them to Montreal.
I'm glad that the new management didn't buy into the last
Bring
season.
Back the Expos.
Oh, last season. That season was absolutely fraudulent. It was like Montreal making the cup final fraudulent. But that doesn't mean like it should be this bad.
No. And I mean, it's a bit fraudulent that they're 0-7, but they suck.
That's what you get for partnering with Burger King.
I have to agree.
Look, if you're gonna play on the worst fast food burger chain, prepare to lose games. That's how that works.
I think that's it. I think that's all I got.
Anyway, rate us 5 stars anywhere but Burger King. Was that a
shout
good
out
bit?
Wendy? Shout out Darude.
Darude, what the fuck are we shouting out Darude for?
Because he did Sandstorm, which is in the Wendy's commercial.
I have no idea what Wendy's commercial you're talking about.
Oh, you're clearly not watching March Madness. Alex knows what I'm talking about. 5 stars on the Wendy's app. Listen to Darude Sandstorm while you do that. I love Sandstorm. I know a lot of people don't agree with me. I don't care. 5 out of 5.
Good night, everybody. Go Panthers.